the people have put me here and they trust me. So I want to do everything in my power that I possibly can to really serve them to the best of my capacity. People inspire me. We've had this negative look in my hometown of Inkster, but now we got a good team turning the city around. We're making history. Just to see like the encouragement on people's face. You know, I wake up every morning, I just feel good. When I was much younger, I wanted to be a spy, like in the CIA, the NSA. It was something that was glamorous to me, but I'm just a people person. I'm just a helper. Felt like this was just something that I needed to do. The first year was phenomenal. To be right there on the front lines with the mayor and my colleagues on council, I got a chance to get more in touch with my community. Right now, I'm working on this criminal justice reform policy, some sexual assault policy on college campuses, and some campaigning election reform laws. I think being a young person, we have a whole different perspective. We look directly at the situation and start kicking solutions out easily. I definitely would like to see more young people getting involved. We are the generation of change for the future, so the decisions happening now are going to be affecting us.
There you go, family. There you go. State Representative Jewel Jones joins the conversation, man. So proud of you, brother. So proud of you.
Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, 21 years old and doing it. When you got elected at 21 years old. But yes, you was a city council person before then.
Yes, sir. We was on city council back in 2015. I was 20 then. Then I started getting older. So, you know, I'm 25 now. Quarter of a century. So I'm making my way up the ladder, not only of age, but also of engagement now, sitting in the legislature.
Wow. And you're doing some great things. Inkster has to be proud of you, man.
Oh, yeah. That's the family. They raised me. I mean, I'm a product of my community for sure.
Yeah. Did this thing happen like real fast for you?
I would think so. You know, I seen myself running for office along with one of my partners, and it's almost like we were ready to go for a 4-year term on city council, staying local, finishing out my college career, you know, and going on my education, things like that, something nice and simple. But what ended up happening was the next year after my representative passed away, we just catapulted to the legislature. We've been there for 2 terms now, moving into my last term this year. So it's kind of like it's definitely been a roller coaster. A lot happened really, really fast. Built a lot of new relationships, done a lot of different things, but it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing.
Are you going to be term limited?
Yes. Yep. Here in Michigan, we have in the state house, we have 3 2-year terms you can serve for a total of 6 years, and in the state senate, you can serve 2 4-year terms for a total of 8. And then, of course, the governor is on a 2 4-year term limit as well. So we still are limited here in the state.
Now, to those folks listening in Florida and of course, we got Benton Harbor and Muskegon on lockdown listening, man. Did you have to go to the Democratic Party to get permission? Like, did you wait for their endorsement before you to run, or you just said, you know what, I'm running?
Well, I rated on their endorsement. So as soon as they actually, what happened, since the representative who passed away, Julie Plawecki, she was, you know, already the Democratic nominee because there was no one else who filed against her running against her. In that situation here in Michigan, the precinct delegates basically get to decide who the replacement will be on the ballot. And so what had happened was I was down south at Fort Knox. I was still training, heavily active in the ROTC program, the Army ROTC program. I got a phone call when I got off the field that out of 11 other people that were trying to be nominees, the precinct delegates had selected us. Now, this was definitely because my hometown was very active in the democratic process. And so we had like 4 or 5 times the amount of precinct delegates than any other city, which means that we had more representation, which is so important and so critical. And since they were able to make that decision, I came back home as a Democratic nominee from the party. So I didn't tell the party. The party told me.
Uh-oh.
I was running. You know?
So you got drafted.
I got drafted. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what have you been able to do as the youngest person in that lawmaking body?
I would say, you know, we've done a lot of collective work. It hasn't been a whole lot that I would say personally that I've done policy-wise, quite frankly, because my biggest focus has really been connecting people back home with folk that, you know, I have relationships with, who might be at the Capitol, who might be in different levels of government or different levels of the business community, anything like that, who can give resources back directly. Because, you know, the question you asked a second ago about the term limits, you know, I realized at max I only have 6 years in the House. And so I need to figure out, how do I create a sustainable relationship between people back home and people that I am basically serving as a mediator between? And so I think that's been some of my biggest work. It's really just empowering folks back home, letting people that look like me know that this is possible, that there's other avenues towards success, there's other ways to get involved in the community, and also just being able to use my platform to shed light on so much of the great things that are happening in our communities aside from the media. Because, you know, so many times the media, you know, they may twist messages, they may not highlight all the wonderful things in society. And so through our platform, we're able to do a lot of those different things. But policy wise, I mean, you know, driver responsibility fees, I think was huge.
Major.
We kept a lot of, you know, I think everybody kind of ran into that issue before. You know, you might get a parking ticket, a speeding ticket, anything. And, you know, it's a lot of folks, you can't pay that, and you get stuck in this vicious cycle of having to pay, having to go to court, eventually getting a license suspended, eventually getting locked up. And now you're sitting in jail, not because you did something criminal, but because you were unable to pay a bill. And so I think that was a huge piece. We're working on a lot of expungement things right now. We passed the expungement package. It wasn't all the way to the point I think it needs to be. But I mean, it's a lot going on, and say a lot being discussed. But under the current leadership, I think that we still have an uphill battle to go. But this year, hopefully we can flip the House. Have a Democratic House, and we already have a Democratic governor, we might be able to make something happen this next term, for sure.
Was it hard for your constituents to take you serious, knowing that you was 21 years old when you went there?
You know, I don't think so. I know initially when I ran for city council, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, he's too, and a lot of people not even from the city of Inkster, just people that were around, you know, saying, hey, he's too young, he's too this, he's too that. And I had a lot of, I had a good village, you know, who supported me. I had a lot of good mentors. And they say, hey, you know, don't let anyone who too scared to do it, too tired to do it, too jaded to do it, tell you you can't do it. You know, so we stayed focused on our mission. We kept going. And I think over time, as people can, you know, saw the work that we did for them, as they saw us sitting down, having conversations with them, and really got an understanding that, hey, you know, I might be young, but we're here, we're ready to work. It's nothing that's limiting us from doing anything. You know, while we have all these new ideas, while we have all this energy, we should be working right now to really impact our communities. Because, you know, that's the key. We got to figure out how we get more young people involved. We can't have a lot of our seasoned citizens doing things and then no one passing the torch. Because now succession planning is eliminated. You know, the consistency is eliminated. And so I think over time, people just warmed up to the idea of, hey, he's young, but he's working for us.
So you're going to be term limited. What you going to end up doing, man? Are you going to run for Senate?
Well, you know, some options out there. I'm still young too. So, you know, I just turned 25 this year. So I just got old enough to be able to run for Congress, for example. But, you know, because, you know, it's a lot of age requirements on different things. But Senate is an option. Something local is an option. You know, something on the county level is an option. I think we have a whole lot of options. But the key right now is doing what I've always done, you know, meeting the people where they're at, sitting down and talking to my folk to see what they want. I've always been task oriented. Someone told me to run for city council, right? The Democratic Party told me to run for state representative. And so I think I'm really just going to continue to have the conversations and figure out what's the best avenue for us to go and where do the people best see us being able to be a service.
Now, what's up with this, the Black Party? What's the Black Party, man?
You know, the Black Party is something that I think we've all been waiting for. And you know, birthed out of a group and other people. I'm not sure you're familiar with the Black Millennial Convention. It's something that's been started for a few years now. Okay. A lot of the folks from that steering committee and that board of directors, along with other influencers, activists, clergy, you know, music artists, entertainers, we've been saying, you know, how are we going to really create space for us? And so our Black Party is that. It just was launched on Juneteenth. There was a soft launch, and then a few days after July 4th, there was an official launch. And our Black Party really is going to be, I guess you can call it like a Tea Party of the left. It's not registered just yet as a political party, but we're looking into those directions. But our Black Party really is going to be the policy thought tank the Action Thought Tank, the Thought Tank just for Black folks. This is where we're going to be able to go, put all our ideas, not only to use in the conversation, but to use in our communities. And so, you know, it's not about being a Democrat. It's not about being a Republican or independent, because before all those different things, you were Black. And so, you know, there's a mission that we have about getting 1,000 Black people elected by 2024, which we're definitely going to hit. We want to address healthcare disparities. We want to address education disparities. We want to figure out how do we deal with police brutality, whether that's defunding the police or reconstructing the process. But I think the biggest thing here is that this is a philosophical movement, and it's talking about, you know, how do we really disrupt the political, economic, and social structures that have constantly oppressed us for all these years? And we don't want to be beholden to anybody anymore. Now is the time to have a revolution, and it's not necessarily going to be a blood revolution. It's going to hopefully be a bloodless revolution where it's focused on, you know, policies and whatnot. But if we have to go to the next level, I think that it's a lot of people here today, not saying that our Black Party endorses this kind of behavior, but I think right now, because of the current situation and sign of times, it's a lot of people who happen to be these young revolutionaries who are very passionate about change. And hopefully we can solve it policy-wise.
There you go. Man, your influence definitely go beyond Michigan. We're getting comments from Florida, a young man who goes to Morehouse, a young politician in Orlando, Julian O'Neill, said it's about using the young perspective to empower and improve the community. Tavares McCurdy is going to be the state representative represent us in Orlando in Tallahassee. He won the primary.
Wonderful.
He signed on. He's saying, remember meeting you in Tallahassee. Good to see he's well. Also, your colleague, State Representative Terry Sabo, made a comment online that Representative Jones is a bad dude. Proud to serve with him.
Terry Sabo is an awesome guy too. It's a pleasure that his folks gets to represent them, man. He's birthed in that community. I know he grew up out there, and they've done a lot for him, and I know he wants to do a lot for them as well. So,
good guy. You bring a lot of energy to young folks, man. How did that make you feel? Know how you made them realize that they don't have to wait until they're 30 and 40 years old to run.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, the biggest thing is just making sure that you don't wait. And that's what, you know, that's what we've always learned. You know, you got to stand up and speak out. Even, you know, my young days at the church, they had me getting up to run service or to say the Lord's Prayer, to say different things. You know, they had me cleaning up. My parents had me cleaning up, doing these different things in the church and the community. And so at an early age, I began to really see, you know, what it meant to give back. And you get to see how you can do something small and it can have a great impact on your community. And I feel like that's what we really need to get people to be at, is that, you know, no matter what, you don't have to run for office. You don't have to own the major biggest business in the world. You don't have to be extremely brilliant, you know, for whatever. But we all have a role to play. I think Dr. King said it best in one of his speeches. I forget exactly what the name of the speech was, but he said, you know, no matter what you do, make sure you are the best at it, I believe. And he's talking about, it was about the garbage workers, I believe.
Right.
Sanitation workers. That's what it was. And so I think, you know, just doing things, you know, on our platform being, you know, the youngest state representative in Michigan's history from a little city like Inkster, we can show the world that, hey, you know, you can come from a place where people might, you know, look down on you, where people might think that nothing great will come from that area, where people might not believe in anything positive happening. And you can change the world. And the more that we can continue to highlight these stories, because I'm not the only one. It's thousands of young Black people that are doing extraordinary things, like many of the people I met when I was down in Tallahassee at FAMU. It's a lot of people doing wonderful things that just need, you know, some support. They need some love. They need a spotlight. They need that village, the same kind of village I had to support them to push them to the next level. And so for us, that's what I'm focused on now. You know, like you said, I was 21 when I first got started. I'm 25 now. I feel like an OG. I'm here right now. It's all about what can I do to help the next young brother or sister get in the door. Wow. And not even get in the door, but to be able to own the room. And it's nothing for me to sit back and watch their greatness occur, because, you know, I've had my times. It's time for me to continue to work, but it's time for us to put other people on that pedestal so they can continue to do more things, you know.
So. This question is coming from online. Pit Fit says, what can we do and where can we financially support the Black Party?
So definitely go check out the Black Party at www.ourblackparty.org. Once you get there, you'll get a chance to, you know, figure out what the platform is all about, what our agenda is about, things about the page, the support, financial piece. That part is not just there yet. We're not really accepting donations. We will be doing that potentially soon. But what we have been doing as of late is encouraging people to donate to some of the national organizations that are focused on equity. And so there's, you know, lists for them on the website as well. But if you would like to contribute directly to Our Black Party, there's a contribute button on the website. Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, we weren't accepting that at first, but it should be updated now, actually, probably as of today. Wow. But definitely go check it out. Support, share the words with your friends. We're organizing state calls, actually. So if anyone in whatever state you're in is interested in either organizing a call or working on a call, feel free to get in touch with me and we will set that up with some of your colleagues in the state.
Now, I'm going to ask you about reparations, man. have that came up? Have y'all talked about reparations? I know that's a national conversation, but what about on the local level?
Definitely. I think we've definitely heard conversations about it. Now, in terms of what that actually looks like, I want to say that there's been a definite piece of policy that speaks to that. And even myself, you know, I have reservations about what reparations looks like myself, because I don't think that any of us has the correct answer. But I know it's definitely not simply a check that's given out. But I think it's critical for us to realize the need for something, because we look at some of our brothers and sisters from different backgrounds, whether you want to look at, I mean, everybody besides Black, I'll just say that everybody besides Black people have gotten some kind of kickback, yeah, you know? And so for that to be a fact, I think it's critical for us to require something. Now, what that looks like, whether that's consistent checks, whether that's business services, whether that's free education, whether that's any kind of resources that we want to, you know, we want to create in our heads, whatever benefits you, I think it should be at your disposal. And so I think that's the biggest piece with reparations, because Black people are not monolithic. And so I think we run into a dangerous space when we want to define what they look like. So I think that figuring it out from the local level or from the very micro level probably be our best bet. But then that's a long drawn conversation. And so then we say we do want to create some kind of macro level of reparations. So I've had my reservations there, but I definitely think that it's needed and it's required. However, we decide to define it.
State Representative Jewel Jones joining the conversation. We're live on radio and live on Facebook and other social media. In Michigan, are you seeing enough Black people becoming owners of this legal marijuana, or these farms, or these manufacturers? Are Black people getting any of that money?
So I would say definitely, it's definitely a handful of folks getting it. I wouldn't say that they're getting the bulk of it necessarily. I mean, whenever you look at some of these emerging markets, regardless if it's like you got Sister Simone on there, you know, she's doing her thing, and it's a lot of other people, you know, like the Queen, who are finding ways to get into it. You know, you don't necessarily have to own a dispensary or a grow. It's different licenses. You can be a consultant. You can do a lot of different things. You definitely see it happening. But whenever you look at emerging markets, a lot of times people from outside of town or outside of the state, outside of the country, come in who have no stake in the community, but have the financial wherewithal to do things, come in and they buy up licenses, they buy up space, they do these different things that kind of deprive folk who are local or folks who are in need of these particular opportunities. And so I would say that we've definitely seen a lot of that. And so the more that we can actually have a social equity program that is stringent and really, I guess, targeted to folks of color, folks who need it, Black people, I think that we're going to continue to see the lack of major business owned by Black folk, only because the social equity program is there, but the way that it's set up, you know, and not to mention, we have a lot of our own people that I want to call them selling out. But you have a lot of Black people who front as business owners for other people who are financially supporting them, which, I mean, you get in where you fit in. You feel
right.
me, but at the same time, it's almost a detriment to the community. So, I mean, it's a lot of different things going on because of the way the program is set up. But there's still a handful of Black folks that are getting their due, you know, making their money.
State Representative Jewel Jones, that's a couple more questions, man. Are any laws being anybody talking about reducing the powers of the police or making it so they're more accountable on a state level?
Yeah, we actually just had a Representative Tyrone Carter, one of my colleagues from Detroit, along with one of our Republican colleagues, I believe, passed through the House a training bill, I believe. But of course, training is important if, you know, you actually pay attention to training. I think even, you know, from my time in the ROTC program, my time in the National Guard, my time even being an auxiliary officer, it's a lot of different trainings that you get. And we call them sometimes death by PowerPoint. You got to get through it. And then it's kind of like a checkbox that you make. And so all the times it isn't it's not very educational. It's not something that you really stick with. It's just something that you kind of have to do a lot of times, that I would say. And so we've seen bills like that. But in terms of talking about reforming or rewriting the way that police officers are insured and they have bonds, or talking about, even potentially just how you can take off of their immunity, I think some of those conversations haven't been had. Probably only because the posture of the state house right now and the state senate, it's not a full blown red state, but they still have control of the house and the senate. The Republicans, and I would say they lean towards law enforcement, so I don't think that we will see any revolutionary policy come out just yet.
Right. Are you mentoring somebody to take your seat?
Yes, I am. Quite a few people.
Okay.
But what it's looking like, but I think that those people also have options. And so I think one thing that we have to do in the Democratic Party and also in the Black community is give people direction. The same, I think humans are task oriented. I think a lot of times we need to tell people, hey, this is what I need you to do. Or when you have a lot of Black people running in one race, we need to say, hey, some of y'all need to sit to the side. We need to get behind this one person. But I think that makes sense when it makes sense. But, you know, people still have their options, people still have their desires and their dreams. And so while I'm mentoring people and, you know, grooming people through the process, at any given point in time, things can change. You know, I wanted to be a spy back in the day. Somebody told me about city council. I seen the opportunity. We took it. I did a whole pivot. And so any of that can happen at the last minute. So something I've actually been talking about with some of my focus, opening some kind of forum to see who all is really serious about running for office in the district. I don't think it's been done before, but I think that it makes sense to begin to take control of elections in our areas.
Yeah, Survivors McCurdy in Orlando says he's going to be proposing a legislation like they have in Cali to release body cam footage within 45 days in Florida.
That would definitely be important, because, I mean, they drag along a lot of these cases just to figure out what they can clean up. I'm not sure, brother, if you heard about the Breonna Taylor's case. They've been trying to get people who are actually the actual folks that they were looking for. They're trying to get them to say that Breonna Taylor was somehow mixed up in their business with the narcotics. They've been leaning on their brothers for a long time, but none of them agree to tell on, because it's just not factual.
Right.
A lot of times you'll see that speedy trial that we're supposed to have might not be as speedy. And they even have ways that they have the folks waive speedy trials.
Right.
We're not often educated about these things that prosecutors and judges and attorneys can do. So that's court for you.
Man, last but not least, this don't have anything to do with politics. This got something to do with music. Give me your top five rappers, dead or alive.
Top five rappers, dead or alive?
Yeah.
That's crazy. you know, because I don't have favorites, but I can just say the first ones that come to my head. So I definitely say Pac, Nas, Biggie. I like the Snoop. I used to be rocking with and Corrupt. I mean, I don't know. I'm in a group, Snoop, Corrupt, and what's my man's, and Warren G on the same, because on the same level. So that's just gonna take up one of my space, because I don't know if it's politically correct, but the first rap song I learned all the words to was "Ain't No Fun If The Homies Can't Have None." and I was like,
hey, that was a hot beat though, man. It's a hot beat. Yeah.
Man, yeah. I went home and said it, man. I was probably like 10, 11 years old. I got a whooping. I recited the whole song. My parents was home. But besides them, you know, I like 21 Savage. I like a lot of folk, you know. I think it's a lot of interesting music out these days.
25 minutes went real quick.
It did.
Thank you for being available. We got to have you back again. You inspire folks, and hopefully the people who are listening in these different markets would take notice to what you've done and follow your footsteps. And give out the Black Party website again.
Okay, definitely. And I appreciate you having me on, brother. www.ourblackparty.org. And it's also, we're also on Instagram at Our Black Party. We're on Facebook at Our Black Party. We definitely would love to have you join the movement and check it out. Once again, like I said, we're organizing state calls. We're building capacity right now and the infrastructure for the party. So I definitely encourage anyone that's passionate about pro-Black policies, pro-Black activity, to get involved right now in the infancy of the movement. Besides that, definitely reach out to us anytime. You know, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, social media, Joel Jones. You'll be able to find us, and we're here.
You out there. All right, friend. Thank you so much. Proud of you, brother.
Hey, appreciate you, brother. Peace and love.
Peace and love. Going back to my music this afternoon jam.